But my Facebook lately, and this is where I'll kind of start this morning, my Facebook lately has been filled with kind of a blast from the past. It's been filled with a country music singer from the 80s and 90s. It seems like everybody that I know has packed up and headed off to Tulsa or to Oklahoma City or to Dallas or to Little Rock to see Garth Brooks. Garth Brooks is kind of making a comeback, and I like some of his music. I don't care for his wife's cooking show. I don't know if y'all have watched that, but we can talk about that later. But I like some of Garth's music. I remember it from when I was growing up, and I could give you a bunch of statistics about his albums or how many he's put out and all that, but one of the ones I found interesting, and the only statistic about Garth Brooks that I'll cite, is that the Recording Industry Artists of America, who are apparently some kind of expert on this, tells me that he's the second best-selling music artist in the United States. He sold more albums than the Rolling Stones, than Michael Jackson, and Elvis Presley. The only person he's second to would be the Beatles. You know, a couple of years ago, before he started making this big comeback, I got a wild hair and said, boy, I haven't listened to Garth in a while. So I got on my computer and I was going to get on iTunes and buy a bunch of songs that I liked of his. But I couldn't. Garth doesn't sell his music digitally. So I bought a Greatest Hits. It was like a 3-CD set. I usually don't buy a lot of CDs. And I'll tell you why. I'm a picky kind of guy. I'm picky when it comes to my music. I put it all on my phone and I plug my phone into my car. And I don't buy CDs because you're lucky if there's 4 songs you like out of 12 to 15 on a CD. And I don't want to pay $15 for a CD to listen to 4 songs. Garth's set's a little different, though. There's 33 songs on this 3-disc set, and I like 24 of them. I think that's a pretty good average and a pretty good number. I'm not going to tell you which one's my favorite. I do have a favorite. If you're really that interested, you can ask me after church, and I'll be glad to tell you. But I do want to start our lesson this morning by referencing one of those songs. This song came out in 1990 on his second album called No Fences. That's not the name of the song, but the album. Both the song and the album went number one at some point. This particular album had 4 real popular songs. It was his most popular studio album. You've probably heard of this song. It's called Unanswered Prayers. It's a pretty common song. If you haven't heard it, you can sure listen to it. It's a pretty song. And the subject matter behind it talks about how the singer and his wife go to a high school football game and run into his old flame, his lady that he wanted back in high school. He goes on to say that the past started coming back to him. Back in the day, he had prayed to God that they would be brought together. He would be hers for all time. And he'd spend each night just praying for that. And that if God would grant him this one thing, he'd never ask for anything again. But then he goes on to say, as tends to happen, she wasn't quite, wasn't quite the angel he'd remembered in his dreams. And he could tell that he wasn't just as good as she thought he was back in the day as well. The chorus of this song has some great lyrics. It says, remember when you're talking to the man upstairs, just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. And it finishes with, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. That's as much about Garth as we're going to talk about. I do want to talk about unanswered prayers this morning. I'm sure we've all prayed to God and had the thought that, well, God's just not listening. Or that we're offering this prayer and we just don't see anything coming of it. Maybe we thought, well, God's just got a plan, or God knows what's best for us. But still, we pray and we pray and we pray some more. But things occur around us every day that we know we've not prayed for. Things that we just have trouble with. We bury folks and we think it's just much too soon. We hear of good friends and family getting a diagnosis that's not favorable and their health get nothing but worse. We see broken marriages. We see families that are torn apart. Jobs lost. Financial troubles. Terrible sins. We see folks. We see good Christian, God-fearing folks whose dreams have just been shattered. They pray. And we pray. But from our perspective, we just don't see anything happening. I want to start by looking at Abraham this morning. I'm not going to have these particular scriptures on the board. I will have some here in a little bit. But in the 15th through the 21st chapters of the book of Genesis, God makes several promises to Abraham, one of which is that Abraham will be the father of a great nation. What's the only problem with that? Well, Abraham and Sarah are, of course, childless. So what did they do when told about this plan of God? Did they Do they sit around and patiently wait for his plan to come through? No. They decided they needed to help God out with his plan, so to speak. They should have known, and of course we should know, that God's plans will be executed. We don't necessarily need to meddle with them. Abraham took Hagar as his wife, and she gave birth to a son, Ishmael. But then God comes back in chapter 18, and he tells Abraham and Sarah, okay, now is the time. What I have told you is coming true. You're going to have that son that I promised. Isaac is on the way. And of course, what did they do? They laughed at him. It says in the scripture they laughed at him. Let's keep this in mind. I just kind of want to keep this in the back of our minds with Abraham and Sarah as we begin to discuss some points around apparent unanswered prayers. The first point is, well, sometimes God does have an answer, but that answer is that we need to wait. Abraham and Sarah waited 11 years with no apparent answer, nothing in sight, for this son. Does God get in a hurry? We know God doesn't get in a hurry. God is not tardy. God is not late. God's timing is perfect. Regardless of whatever crisis comes or whatever difficulty that we're going through, we've just got to trust Him. We're not always going to be able to readily see. It's just not going to be apparent right in front of us. God's work in our lives to answer these prayers. When that happens, when we can't see it, we've got to have faith and we've got to trust His heart. We have to trust His promise to work all things out to our good and to our benefit. We know often, and we say often, that God knows what's best for us. God knows us better than ourselves. As our Heavenly Father, He certainly has our best interests at heart. Our next point is that sometimes our prayers simply are not within God's will. We know that God is sovereign. God has been and is still working His will, His plan for everything. Everything in the world is still unfolding as we speak. That's a plan that includes you, it includes me, and it includes everyone. And we simply have to ask ourselves this: are we willing for God to have His way with us? Say that a little bit differently with regards to our prayers. We need to do away with "give me" prayers and replace them with "make me" prayers. Make me a better person. Make me your tool of righteousness. Make me a living sacrifice. One of the songs we sing is the servant song. It says, "Make me a servant, do what you must do to make me a servant and make me like you." Consider that. Consider changing those prayers to "make me" prayers. Be ready for an answer. Let God have His way. You know, sometimes what God does for us and to us and with us to answer said prayers, it might be a little surprising, and honestly, when you compare it to what we want, it might even be a little disappointing. He may have to discipline us, remold us, remake us, and reshape us. But God is going to do what He needs to do, and we must let Him do so. Our next point is that sometimes our prayers may appear to go unanswered to us because we have doubt. Sometimes we simply come up short in the faith department. Sometimes we just don't have faith in God's ability to supply our needs. Abraham and Sarah were pretty old when you think about childbearing age, weren't they? So Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. So what did they do? They turned around and laughed at God. I can understand things being hard to believe, but I can't imagine laughing at God over something. I'll admit that I've been told things before that have caused me to laugh. It happened this week at work. Somebody came to tell me about something that had happened in some other department, and I had to literally stop them so I could get my laughing out of the system before we picked it up again. But not God. They just didn't trust. They didn't believe that He could pull it off. But we know that God can pull off anything. Do we believe in that ability? Do we believe in His ability to do things today? Or do we subconsciously laugh when we think of those things that come up? We have to stop fretting. We have to stop worrying. We have to be still and know that God is God. God will keep His promises to us just like they were kept to Abraham. I want to look at Mark 5 for a moment. If you're following along, I'll have this verse up here in just a moment. Mark 5 is about Jesus visiting some folks and healing of a man possessed with demons. The demons asked Jesus to send them into some pigs, and he did. And the townspeople came the next morning, the pigs then rushed down and drowned in the Sea of Galilee. The townspeople then came along, and they weren't thrilled, all their pigs drowning in the Sea of Galilee, so they asked Jesus to leave, and he did. When he was leaving, this man, who was now healed, asked to go with him. Jesus did not allow him to, and in fact told him the following in verse 19. There it is. It says, Jesus didn't let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And so the guy did. He went and told the folks what Jesus had done. Now, in this particular portion, of Scripture in Mark 5, we have three requests. Three requests by three different folks. Two are answered in the way they wanted, one is not. The first request was by the demons. They asked to be sent into the swine, into the pigs. Okay, that one's done. And the second was by the townspeople. They were more interested in stuff than they were with people. Once they saw what had happened to the pigs, they asked Jesus to leave. Jesus didn't put up an argument. He said, okay, and off he went. The third request comes from the healed man, and he wants to go with Jesus. He wants to go with the apostles, but Jesus refuses. Unlike the other two, his request was not made. His request was not granted as he had asked. He didn't get the answer he was looking for. How do you think that guy felt? Maybe sad? Maybe a little angry? I don't know. It doesn't say. But the question is, have we ever felt the same way when some request of ours hasn't been granted? Well, of course we do. But it doesn't end there. I want to look at verse 20. It says there, "So the man went away and began to tell the people in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed." You take this guy's request. This guy didn't get what he wanted. He wanted to go with Jesus. But look what Jesus did instead. Instead, he spread the word to all the people in these cities. These people were amazed. This is a great result from what came as a request that didn't get answered just the way the man wanted. Our next point is that sometimes God uses what we think are unanswered prayers, what we consider to be unmet requests, to his glory and to his honor. This is the case in Mark 5 because we see the people in the cities came to know Jesus because of this man, because of him spreading the word. I want to think back to the 23rd Psalm. What does David tell us there about God's leadership? It says there, "He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." Not for our name's sake, not for what we want, but for his name's sake. I suppose a good question. That question is, will others come to know Jesus? Will the world see Jesus in me? Because God has denied my request. Because God has said no to my prayer. You see, sometimes God doesn't give us the answer we want so that he can use us to touch the lives of others. Maybe a spouse, maybe children, friends, church members. We sing a song called "Have Thine Own Way," and we simply must be willing to live life as we sing that. Have mine own way, have thine own way, Lord. Hold over my being absolute sway. Simply put, there are sometimes better, wiser answers to our prayers than the ones that we come up with. Our next point is we always have to remember the will of others. I want to clarify that a little bit. Let me start by asking a question. Do we pray for other folks? Yeah, sure we do. We should be. We pray for parents. We pray for children. We pray for neighbors and co-workers and family members, church members, leaders. We pray, or should be praying, for a lot of folks. But what do we pray when we pray for them? Sometimes it's relatively straightforward. Sometimes we pray for healing for an illness or guidance at work or something to meet a request that they have asked. But sometimes the prayers that we pray for folks aren't necessarily the same things that those folks are working on. Maybe we're praying for someone to come to Christ, for someone to obey the gospel. But maybe they're not building that as a big priority in their life at that time. Maybe we pray for those to give up a particular sin in their lives, but they just don't. Back in Mark 5, Jesus wanted the folks in the city to be saved. I'm sure that's why he went there. those people were more interested in what had happened to their livestock than they were in God. They were more interested in themselves than they were interested in a Savior. They asked Jesus to leave, and Jesus packed up and left. Here's a question for those folks. Did Jesus die with those folks there? Yeah. Yeah, He did. Even though they didn't want Him there, even though they asked Him to leave, Jesus died for them. Jesus died for all of us. We have to keep praying. We have to keep working for those who we pray for. But we must also remember this. God created each and every one of us with that free will. God doesn't force us to accept Him. It's a personal choice that we all must make. Our choices, effectively, whether we like it or not, can become the final word on the matter. If we don't choose God, if we don't acknowledge Him, if we don't obey the gospel, then that choice can unfortunately be final. We pray for folks, and we should pray for folks. We need to pray for folks. But we must keep in mind that all that support, it still boils down to them making a decision. We need to pray for God to reach folks. We need to pray for God to open eyes and open hearts. We need to pray for God to make folks receptive to His Word. But we don't need to be frustrated or irritated or angry or sad because we can't see the results. We have to do everything that we can, but we have to trust in God to take care of the rest. I want you to think about Paul's thorn there in 2 Corinthians 12. Paul prays and prays and prays, but nothing happens. Finally, he's told in verse 9, he says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" Paul was told that he wasn't going to calm this particular storm, but rather he was going to give him peace. God enabled him. God strengthened him. God empowered him to handle the situation. God will do the same for us as well. Our next point is that sometimes God just has a better plan in mind. Paul prayed for relief and God said, "My grace is sufficient." Look at what we hear Paul say in the next verse. It says, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Paul's so-called unanswered prayers enabled him to see the power of God working in his life. Paul found a genuine blessing in what initially was apparently an unanswered prayer. We have to pray that God gives us what we need and not what we want. When we can realize that, when we can truly come and realize that, it'll make sense to us and we'll know that all of our prayers, every prayer we pray, doesn't fall on a deaf ear. Our last point in this part is that sometimes God does choose to strengthen us as opposed to removing the thorn, removing the problem. Sometimes we don't need a complex answer. Sometimes we don't need a magic solution that solves every piece of the puzzle. Sometimes all we need is to be calmed. All we need is the strength to endure. I want to switch gears for a moment, and I want to move over and discuss a few things that might get in the way of our prayers, some blocks that get in our way. And the first is not prayers that are unanswered, rather, but prayers that are unasked. In 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23, it says, "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you." You know, the apostles asked Jesus to teach them to pray. Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. Folks, this is something simple. It's something that we control. We must pray and pray all the time. Pray without ceasing. You know, I'm sure you and I've got this that happens all the time at work. I'm sure we've all got folks that you don't ever hear from. They don't ever come to you. They don't ever talk to you unless what? Unless they need something. I'm sure if everybody thought real hard, they could think of at least one person like that. We need to not be the children of God that only come to Him when we're in need. The next is unaddressed sin in our lives. There's two scriptures I want to look at this point. The first is out of Isaiah chapter 59, beginning there in verse 1. It says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." And the next is out of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12 there. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." I've said it before, and I'll say it again because I can't stress the importance enough. It is extremely important for us to walk in the light. It is important for us to acknowledge our sin and to do everything we can to better ourselves. When we do this, God promises to forgive us. He promises to purify us. We know that sin gets between us and God. By the same token, accordingly, if we pray for all these things, but we just ignore our sin, we just keep doing it without any attention for it, I think we'll find that can get in the way of our prayers as well. Just like every day of our life, we cannot let sin get in the way. Our next point is our relationship with others. I want to look at the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. He says, "Therefore, if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." We can't let stubbornness, we can't let our inability to forgive, our inability to work with each other and to move on, we can't let that get in the way of our relationship with God. We have to treat others as Jesus would treat us. Only then, I think, will we find our prayers be truly effective. Just like we discussed a faith problem earlier, a lack of faith in God's power can get in the way here as well. In James chapter 1, it says, beginning of verse 5 there, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord." Simply put, it's a math problem. We're told that prayer plus faith can equal an answer. But prayer plus doubt definitely does not equal an answer. Prayer itself is an act of faith. But who has control over our faith? We do. Sometimes our motives can get in the way as well. I want to look at James again, this time in chapter 4. I said I did. That's not James chapter 4. Okay. You're just going to have to trust me on this one. I'm going to read out of James if you want to follow along. James chapter 4, beginning there in verse 2. It says, "You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." We're not being told that we can't pray for ourselves. We're not being told that we can't pray for things. We're simply being told that we can't pray prayers that are selfish and covetous. Our motive has to be higher than this. Our motive when we pray for these things has to be to enable us to serve others. As we get ready to close this morning, there's one more passage from the book of James that I want to reference. This is in chapter 5, and it begins there in verse 13. It's a common passage on prayer. I'm sure you've heard it before, but I want to read it again. It says, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." We've got to always remember this. When we worry and when we fret that our prayers aren't answered or aren't answered in the way we want, we have to look at these things. We have to look if we're praying for the right thing, if we're doing what God wants us to do. All of these things are great factors in what we pray, but we mustn't let ourselves get discouraged. We must continue to pray without ceasing, continue to seek the knowledge God has laid out for us in His Word. and ask for guidance to live our lives in accordance with His will. Hope this has given you some thought this morning into your prayers. We're going to offer an invitation this morning. If you're not a Christian, we'll of course baptize you for remission of sins upon confession of your faith today. You can leave here with a new lease on life. If you're in need of prayer, if there's any way we can assist you, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?